like to call a session back to order.
Or any state.
Congress back to order after a brief recess to obtain copies of the vetoed legislation, ONC 1791, an act to amend 21 ONC section 1-102 of the OC Nation membership to define birth certificate and to establish an alternate effective date. There is a veto message from Chief Standing Bear. To the Honorable Angela Pratt, Speaker of the Osage Nation Congress and members of the 5th Osage Nation Congress, I hereby transmit pursuant to the provisions of Section 11 of Article 7 and Section 14 of Article 6 of the Osage Nation Constitution my objection to ONC 1791 entitled An Act to Amend 21 ONC Section 1-102 of the Osage Nation Membership Act to define birth certificate and to establish an alternate effective date. Upon review by General Counsel, necessary corrections have been identified in the language of the bill. These are apparent unintentional oversights which may be corrected in legislative session or in a special session. There is a technical error in the new definition, birth certificate. There is also an unintentional mistake in the prior definitions of adult member enacted in ONCA 1616. Both of these need correction because they have an impact upon membership applications and upon voting. The definition for birth certificate in subsection B is new language, but it only includes state-issued birth certificates. The membership regulations require an original certified record of birth. If a state-issued birth certificate is the only birth certificate recognized by law for membership application, then the proposed definition going forward excludes from eligibility for membership those persons of Osage lineal descent who are born outside the United States or during military deployment. These can easily be corrected by an amendment. Second, the definition of adult member in subsection A is an Osage Nation member who is over 18 years of age. This language needs correction because one, it can be interpreted to exclude from membership any Osage on their 18th birthday who was a member the day before and the day after their 18th birthday. And two, it can be interpreted to mean an adult Osage has to be over the age of 18, thereby excluding Osages who are of 18 years of age as adults and thereby affecting their voting rights. The language of OSCA 1791 conflicts with the election code, which defines an eligible voter as an Osage member age 18 and over and allows voting by an Osage member who is 18 on election day if it is on their 18th birthday. The definition in subsection H for minor member is a person who has not yet attained 18 years of age. Again, this is a mistake that is easily corrected by amendment. For these reasons, ONCA 1791 is vetoed. Sincerely, Jeffrey M. Standing Bear, Osage Nation Principal Chief. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Is the motion in order now, or do you want to read both messages?
All right, I'm just going to do them separately. The motion will be in order.
Move to override the veto.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to override. Discussion? Congressman Tillman.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. When this was brought into the committee, we've been working on this since last summer with Sarah Oberly over at the membership. She's the director of the membership. And so her fear right now is birth certificates that were issued. We accept birth certificates now that are issued by the hospital or the county and the state. And she receives all three. She wants it to be from the state only because Homeland Security, at one of her trainings that she went to, she talked about, they talked about how easily it was to fraudulently duplicate the ones from the county and the ones from the hospital, and that she has come across those, and it was just, you know, very alerting to her that we needed to get that changed because we don't want to allow people on that aren't, you know, that aren't Osage. So our bill, ONCA 1791, accomplished that. It came out of committee with the DuPass recommendation from all of the members. She was there. She approved of it, that it would work in her office for what she does. Our legal analyst was present at the meeting, and he agreed that it was good enough to help her now with the problems that she was having. The Attorney General's office was here, and they also agreed and said this works now, and they approved of it. And the Congress, when it came to the floor, we all passed it with a due pass recommendation. We made our process conform to the BIA's process for CDIB, and that was Sarah. She's very pleased with what it is. Now, some of the things addressed in the veto, the adult member and the adult Osage have been in there for over 6 years. That's been in there for quite some time. We can pass this and it'll accomplish what we want from forgery fraud, because if we don't, we're still going to be able to allow hospital birth certificates and county issued birth certificates until we get this. We can correct this, the other things, in the spring, but for right now, our director has a concern, and this bill fixed her concern. And so again, as I said, she was happy with it. Our legal analyst was happy with it. Attorney General's office was happy with it. The committee was happy with it. And we passed it out of Congress unanimously. So I urge you to override this veto. Thank you.
Thank you. Congresswoman Whitehorn, and then Congressman North, or excuse me, Edwards, and then North.
Well, I listened to the veto message, and the veto message speaks to the idea of a state-issued birth certificate and expresses concern of, well, what happens if someone's foreign-born. Well, according to Merriam-Webster, a state is a nation or territory considered as an organized political community under one government, with an example of Germany, Italy, or any other European state. The term state is synonymous with a country, a nation, a land, a sovereign state, a nation state, a kingdom, a republic, a confederation, or a federation. So I'm not concerned that the fact that the definition of state is in the bill somehow prohibits someone that's foreign born from getting a birth certificate from their state.
Thank you. Congressman Norris?
That's some of my concern is what happens to our Osages that are born outside of country, especially now since we have many who serve in our military service, and there can be children born outside of the United States very easily. I'm not sure how the military, what documents are necessary for the United States government and the military to provide that would satisfy state birth certificate, but I'm sure that there is something, and if there's not, then we need to work on that sometime in the future. Initially, I was going to vote to override, or I was going to vote the veto down, but now I'm leaning toward overriding this veto because of what I'm hearing from Congressman Tillman, and I believe that a lot of work has gone into this, and we do need to really safeguard and protect our nation from people who might try to come in and become members of our tribe to gain these valuable services that we offer. So I know that perhaps, I know that this is going to take a little work in the future, but I support Congressman Tillman in all his work, and people in the membership committee and our membership office, and I'm going to vote to override this veto message. Thank you.
Thank you, Congressman. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I read the veto message early this morning, and I've always been on the side of overriding this veto. I thank Congressman Edwards for bringing up the definition of state, that it would recognize a foreign state. And I believe that the language is there in the law, and I'd like to reiterate the fact that this was a problem that our director of our membership department came and asked us to consider. I think we heard the bill twice in committee, maybe before we got into session, and then again when we got into session. The Attorney General has worked with us on this. She never did bring up an instance of a foreign birth certificate, how her office has had to or not, or has not been presented one, how they handle that. But I think with this language that I've heard from Congresswoman Edwards, that I think that we have it covered. So I support overriding the veto as far as the membership, that adult member, and what is that, minor member. I think that's very clear. I don't think there's any question there about what this law refers to as an adult member or a minor member. I support overriding this veto. I hope that my colleagues do also.
Thank you. Any more discussion? Seeing none, the question is, shall the veto for ONCA 1791 be overridden?
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Congressman Hamilton.
Yes.
Congressman Baker.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Moore.
Yes.
Congressman Shaw.
Yes.
Congressman Supermoff.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congresswoman Buckleheads.
Yes.
Speaker Pratt.
Yes. The veto for OSA 1791 has been overridden and it's advanced to the next, ONCA 17106. The veto message to the Honorable Angela Pratt, Speaker of the Osage Nation Congress and members of the 5th Osage Nation Congress. I hereby transmit pursuant to the provisions of Section 11 of Article 7 and Section 14 of Article 6 of the Osage Nation Constitution, my objection to ONCA 17106 entitled An Act to Ratify the Passage of the Legislation Previously Passed by the Osage Nation Congress with Less Than 7 Votes and to Establish an Alternate Effective Date. This bill relies on a flawed theory that the Osage Constitution requires 7 votes for any legislation to pass and then states 11 years of validly enacted legislation needs to be revisited and ratified because they are suddenly not valid. ONCA 17106 is a statement that 11 years of Osage law was wrong. Such a radical view, which declares the process of making laws followed by our Osage Congress since 2006 as invalid, threatens the stability of our legal system. For example, this bill lists 9 such acts, including ONCA 1701, the Osage Nation Trust Land Leasing Act, approved by the Osage Congress on December 6, 2016, and signed by me on December 9, 2016. We immediately presented to the federal government ONCA 1701 as a valid law of the Osage Nation. After months of work, the federal government approved the Osage Nation Trust Land Leasing Act under the Federal Hearth Act, which was published in the Federal Register on September 5, 2017. This is no time to question whether ONCA 1701 is a valid law. Another example is ONCA 1090, creating an executive division, which recently determined to be unconstitutional by the Osage Nation Supreme Court. Is ONCA 17106 making a statement of opposition to our Osage Nation Supreme Court? The confusion created by ONCA 17106 is detrimental to the Osage Nation. The many laws it affects were all enacted by the Osage Congress after legal and staff review. They became law sometime as long as 11 years ago. The plain meaning of the language in Article 6, Section 12, no bill shall be passed without the concurrence of the majority of the members of the Osage Nation Congress, appears to require 7 affirmative votes when read alone. But when read in the context of the Constitution as a whole and as a provision relating to other provisions, including the provision requiring a quorum of 8 members, and in a way that avoids absurd or inconsistent results, all conclusions point to an inference of a majority of a quorum to pass legislation. There are other reasons that a requirement of 7 votes is not supported by the Constitution. ONCA 17-106 is unconstitutional because it infringes on the authority of the executive branch. It removes power from the position of assistant principal chief by relegating the tiebreaker duty to only those instances of a 6-6 tie when all legislators are present and voting. Article 7, Section 6 says, whenever the legislature shall be equally divided, the assistant principal chief shall cast the deciding vote. This is a plain language, and it contains no limitations on tie-breaking only in the one instance of a 6-6 tie in order to have 7 votes to pass. The Constitution only requires a quorum of 8 members for the exercise of its powers, Article 6, Section 9, which would reasonably anticipate the likelihood of a 4-4 or 5-5 tie requiring the assistant principal chief to exercise his constitutional power to break them. When these two provisions are read together, the interpretation by Congress that requires a tiebreaker only in the event of a 6-6 tie and that no legislation is valid unless passed by 7 votes leads to an absurd or inconsistent result as discussed by the Supreme Court. The situation is ripe for abuse if the Congress requires 7 votes to pass legislation. In the event of a 6-6 tie, under the Congress's interpretation, any one Congress member has only to leave the room to avoid a tie and defeat the bill, 6 yes, 5 no, fail. Where by stating and voting no, the bill passes when the APC votes yes, 7 yes, 6 no, pass. The new interpretation gives more power to absence than to being present and voting no. The word majority is defined in Black's Law Dictionary as a mathematical calculation intended to determine whether a given number of votes is equal to or greater than the number greater than half of any total. If the framers intended to require 7 votes to pass a bill, they would have said so. In the same manner, they specified exact numbers in other provisions of the Constitution. The theory presented by ONCA 17-106 could apply to numerous laws which could be a violation of Article 6, Section 3I of the Osage Constitution prohibiting the enactment of ex post facto law. An ex post facto law is a law which impermissibly applies retroactively, especially in a way that negatively affects a person's rights. The theory presented by ONCA 17-106 could also undo resolutions of the Osage Congress, such as ONCR 14-14, pertaining the loan agreement for the campus master plan phase 1. ONCA 17-106 tells the Osage Nation that many laws and resolutions enacted during the past 11 years are invalid and need ratification. This is a dangerous view. For these reasons, ONCA 17-106 is vetoed. Sincerely, Jeffrey M. Standing Bear, Osage Nation Principal Chief. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Move to override the veto.
Second.
Motion is made and second to override. Discussion? Congresswoman Edwards.
The rules of this Congress state that an affirmative majority of all members of Congress is needed to pass a bill. Last month, the Congress identified a few bills over the last 11 years which have purportedly been passed by less than a majority of the members of Congress. This bill simply signals a reaffirmation of those bills that purportedly did not pass by a majority of the whole of Congress. It maintains the consistency of this body that says a majority of all the members of Congress, of the whole of the Congress, need to be present to pass a bill. That vote was, for that rule, was with but 2 dissents, I believe, maybe just 1. So what's important here is the consistency in this body. We vote by a supermajority enough to change, put to the people a constitutional question that we believe that it's a majority of all the members of Congress that need to be vote affirmatively to pass a bill. So with that message, we need to be consistent. And the consistency is to ratify these bills so that there's no question. I don't believe that this movement answers the ultimate question of whether our opinion as to how many bills it takes, how many votes it takes to pass a bill is answered. The only way to hear from the constitutionality issue is to go to the Supreme Court and see what the Supreme Court says about the interpretation of the Constitution. And maybe even then, the question might not be right for them. But for now, this is an effort to make consistent the view of the Congress. I can tell you that I am positive that there was never a consideration as to the constitutionality of 5 votes or 4 votes or 6 votes to pass a bill by this Congress. I can tell you there was never a parliamentarian opinion issued before this year as to how many votes it takes to pass a bill. This is the first time this issue has come up in this Congress, and unfortunately it didn't come up before now. But now that it's here, we need to address it. So I would urge you to vote for it.
Thank you. Congressman Shaw.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. As I've articulated before, I'm very pleased that my colleague, Congressman Edwards, sought to take the high road in going back and addressing these past legislative acts or bills that we've passed with less than a concurrence of the majority of the entire membership of the Osage Nation Congress. You know, it would have been very easy for us, and we had some of that sentiment before I changed our rule, which addressed this interpretation I just mentioned, to say, well, you know, we've done it this way for so long, we should just go ahead because it's too much trouble to change now after 11 years. That's not the way we operate. If we find an error, we correct it, we address it, and we try to go back and also correct it the best way we know how, and that means ratify these bills that were elected with less than the number of votes that we now feel are valid. Ratify simply means approve an action that was previously approved without validity. So this ratification is not a reassertion of those bills to challenge the Supreme Court. It's simply to make previous action valid. That's all it was. If it's still declared unconstitutional, that doesn't change that. But it means that these bills are not floating out there waiting to be challenged one by one because we didn't take the time to address it. We just left them out there because perhaps it was too much trouble. My colleague took the trouble to ratify those. It went through a committee. We sent it. Now we're down to the veto. The veto is not unexpected because the piece about infringing on the powers of the assistant chief, I understand that. I see that. One might say whenever the entire membership of the legislature is evenly divided, she shall cast the deciding vote. That's language isn't in there. But you know, the word present isn't in the Constitution, but it is in other parts of the Constitution. There's some inconsistency in the Constitution because I think different people drafted different parts of it, so sometimes the language is not the same. But the word present is conspicuously absent in the Constitution about what votes are required for a bill to become law. And so we've addressed that. We've tried to go back and make it right. And I think that we should stand solid and vote yes to override the veto. Thank you.
Thank you. Congressman Norris.
My fellow Congress people, they make very, very good arguments to override the veto. And it is very convincing, I admit that. I'm gonna vote not to override the veto because a quorum of Congress can be established to do business and exercise its powers with 8 members present. 8 members of Congress to call a quorum together and conduct, exercise our powers. Our powers are to create law. With 8 members in a quorum, you can essentially have a 4-4 tie. With that 4-4 tie, that can be broke by the vote of the assistant principal chief, which would make it either a 5-4 vote, either pass or fail. I understand the intent and the work that went into ratification of these laws. But I think there's more to it than that. I think we're dealing with something that's a lot more complicated than that. We can go back and correct the ratification part, but I believe that this is a challenge to the Constitution whenever if this veto passes, or override of this veto passes. So I'm going to vote no on overriding the veto. Thank you.
Thank you. Congresswoman Whitehorn?
I'm going to vote yes to override this veto for the reasons that Congresswoman Edwards, very good points, and the reasons Congressman Shaw brought up. But I'd like to bring an additional thing to the table that has never been discussed in this dialogue about the vote count to pass legislation. Back in June 3rd, 2014, actually, let me get back further than that. The 27th of September 2013, this body of Congress voted to put a constitutional amendment before the people. The sponsor of that bill was now Assistant Chief Redcorn. And the question that was placed on the ballot in June 3rd, 2014, was a new section inserted into Article 6 of the Constitution, which reads, special requirement for the amendment of laws to protect assets. The language says, when a law requires an affirmative supermajority to access Osage Nation assets, the number of votes needed to lower the majority requirement shall be equal or greater to than the supermajority threshold established in law. That was placed before the people on the ballot and passed by 73.8% by the people to put this language in our Constitution. Although it doesn't apply to just straight legislation, it applies to legislation that we have in law that has to pass by a supermajority. I think that this part has never been considered in all of our discussion. Our Constitution allows for a supermajority vote to pass legislation. Also, this portion in the Constitution has an additional requirement to, if we want to amend that law that requires a supermajority, it's going to take a supermajority to amend it, which kind of blows the argument out of the water that the assistant chief, his privileges of a 6-6 tie vote are being trampled on by a seven-member vote, a vote of seven to pass the pass legislation. It kind of blows that out of the water because our Constitution already takes that power away by the supermajority language. It's not Congress that has done so. It's the Osage people that have adopted that legislation. So I hope I'm not confusing matters any, but I just don't think that the arguments here on page 2 are valid, and I would strongly agree with Congresswoman Edwards that this body has made a decision on our opinion of what the Constitution says, that legislation has got to pass by 7 votes. And we need to continue on in that path and not waver from what our decisions are. So I urge my colleagues to vote to override this veto and follow the path that we have firmly set our feet on and have taken a stance to walk down. So I urge a yes vote to override.
Is there any more discussion? Seeing none, the question is, shall the veto for ONCA 17-106 be overridden?
Congressman Hamilton.
Yes.
Congressman Maper.
No.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Norris.
No.
Congressman Shaw.
Yes.
Congressman Supernov.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congresswoman Bethlehem.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Speaker Pratt.
Yes. The veto for ONCA 17-106 has been overridden and will advance to enrollment. Next on the agenda is a citation of commendation for Annette Gore. Congressman Supernov.
Madam Speaker, members of Congress, Assistant Chief Reddick. Annette Gore was an Osage resident of Denver, Colorado. She passed away earlier this year at the age of 101 after having spent a lifetime doing research on the history and genealogy of the Osage people. She donated her library to the Osage Nation and is currently housed at the Cultural Center. At this time, I would like to present a citation of commendation acknowledging her contribution to the Osage people. And I read the citation. It says, Annette, the citation of commendation to Annette Moncrave Gore. Whereas Annette Moncrave Gore was ever dedicated to the Osage tribe, and in this effort she published 3 volumes of the genealogy charts entitled The Osage and Impervious Ancestry on the Osage Tribal Members listed on the 1906 Osage Roll. And whereas Annette Moncrave Gore, born March 24, 1916, is the daughter of Sylvester Alexander Moncrave and Myrtle Clementine Baker Moncrave, who were both original allottees on the roll of the 1906 Osage Allotment Act. And whereas Annette Moncrave Gore was honored for her 40 years of research and service to Osage genealogy when the Osage tribe dedicated the Annette Moncrave Gore Library to her in Pawhuska, Oklahoma on September 9, 2005. And whereas Annette Moncrave Gore earned the admiration and respect of her colleagues and the current members of the Osage Nation Congress for her profound love and respect for all generations of Osage people. Now, therefore, pursuant to the motion of Congressman William Supernov, the Osage Nation Congress extends to Annette Moncrave Gore sincere commendation and directs that this citation be presented. Ms. Gore's daughter, Tina Allen, is here to accept the citation on behalf of her mother, so I'd like to present this to you. And thank you very much for being here.
However, I know that my mother was a patient woman, and she sincerely was interested in the Osages. I remember that mother said that it was the most wonderful thing you could ever be to be an Osage when I was a girl, and I wasn't raised around the Osages. At any rate, I was very proud of my mother in the initial ceremony. She was not a public speaker, to my knowledge, but she got right up there and she shared everything she could about genealogy, about how it is almost like being bitten by a bug, that people get so invested and so interested in it. She called it chasing Indians. And from my perspective, even to interrupt her for a cup of coffee was not always the best idea, because she would say, "I'm chasing Indians, leave me alone." So, at any rate, she was a delight, she was a sweetheart. It was my honor and privilege to have her as my mother and for her to have lived in my care as long as she did. And I love her dearly, I always will, and I miss her. And I thank you so kindly for allowing me to have this citation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. There was a reception planned for today by the executive department at 4 o'clock. However, at the time it was planned, we didn't know how long this session was going to last. So, Angela, if there's any way we could set that up, everybody's still here before noon, even we don't go back to the committee meeting until 1 o'clock, would you see if they could possibly have that reception sooner than 4 o'clock?
To ask the cultural center if they could?
What?
Are you saying to ask the cultural center if they can?
Yeah.
I could speak to someone in the executive branch and ask the assistant chief to ask them to. We're not in charge of that. So we can have some kind of communication going on, but I don't know what they have planned. Thank you.
The chief's office actually wanted this at 4 o'clock. It was, Maddie Hudson called me, she's the director of the chief. She had said that the chief had wanted a reception and the best they could do was 4 o'clock this afternoon, so.
Okay, I don't know, I'm going to call him, I'll be here, but we'll just leave it as it is.
Okay. I would imagine that they probably, everybody's probably ready to go this afternoon. So, thank you. All right, we're now on motions and notices. Congresswoman Buffalohead.
Congressional Affairs is recessed, but we will be meeting IFS today.
Okay, thank you. Congressman Maker.
Culture meets today at 1 p.m. till 3 p.m. to discuss the museum.
All right, thank you, Congresswoman Whitehorn.
The Appropriations Committee will meet at 8:30 in the morning.
All right, Congressman Supernaw.
Is this session recorded?
I believe it is, yes.
Okay, so maybe someone who took pictures could share them with the Osage News and communication department?
The Osage News is here.
What, huh?
The Osage News is here.
Well, they won't take any pictures.
Well, I'm sure he'll stand
there
because they'll take it.
Thank you.
Any other motions or notices?
Motion to adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow.
Second.
Okay. Motion's made and seconded to adjourn. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. We are adjourned until tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.
Peggy, organize a picture and then you take it.
Hold on.
Yeah.